Hello and welcome to End of Life University Podcast, where we share real talk about life and death. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Wyatt, and this is episode number 300. I finally hit the milestone I've been waiting for the last couple of months. Here we are, 300 episodes in, and I'm very proud of that accomplishment and the work and effort that it has taken to get here, but also grateful to all of the hundreds of guests that I've had over the past 6 years or so of doing this podcast who gave their time and talked with me and shared all their wisdom. I couldn't have done this without all of those people out there who stepped forward and said yes when I asked if they'd like to be a guest. So I'm thrilled to be at this point where I've actually met a significant milestone. It feels really good in life when you commit to something and you actually make it happen. So I'm proud of this accomplishment. And this has also been a time for me to stop and reevaluate what I'm doing. I think the COVID year we've just been through has perhaps brought a lot of people to this point of taking stock of where they are, what they've been doing, and rethinking how would they like to go forward in the future. So just in case you're worried, I'm not going to end this podcast. I'm going to continue doing End of Life University as long as it still feels inspiring to me and I still love doing the work. I'll keep going with EOLU, but I also have another inspiration. And so that's what I wanted to announce to you today. I'm going to be starting a second podcast called What Really Matters. If you've been a longtime listener, you know that I do lots of interviews and present those on these podcast episodes here for EOLU, but I also from time to time do solo episodes where I primarily focus on spiritual issues. And what I have always known is that my heart and my passion is really about talking about those spiritual issues. And so I've decided that I would like to do a second podcast and I'm going to move the solo episodes out of this podcast. This EOLU will now be primarily interviews that I do. And the solo episodes and talking about more spiritual topics will all be contained under What Really Matters. And so on that podcast, as I get going, I will be sharing with you this journey of trying to live life as a spiritually aware person, and that spiritual awareness, which includes being mortal and understanding that life is short, that we will all die one day. Therefore, how do we live our best lives and be our best selves right here, right now, as we're going through challenges and difficulties in life? So in the What Really Matters podcast, I'll be sharing with you things that I'm learning on this journey. I'm doing lots of reading and studying and listening and learning from other people. And so I will be sharing with you little inspirations that I get. So the episodes on What Really Matters are likely to be shorter, but much more in the moment. I'll record something when I get inspired because I just read something or learned something that I want to share. So those episodes will be a little different than these pre-recorded interviews that I share with you here on EOLU. So if you are interested in the spiritual content, I know that some of you who listen to this podcast are not interested in the spiritual information that I offer. So you won't be finding that anymore on this podcast. You can just stay right where you are and listen to all the interviews and get what you need here. For those of you who really like the spiritual information, you can also subscribe to What Really Matters, or maybe that's all you're interested in. You can go to that podcast and spend your time there. So As I'm recording this, the new What Really Matters podcast is available on Spotify and Google and a few other lesser known platforms. It isn't quite up and running on Apple Podcasts yet. I'll leave a link, though, to the page where you can find the podcast, and it will notify you, or you'll be able to find there as soon as it's available on Apple Podcasts, and you can subscribe there. That should be happening any day now. So it's What Really Matters with Karen Wyatt is the name of this podcast. Or What Really Matters podcast with Karen Wyatt. So check it out. Come to the show notes for this episode, eolupodcast.com, and look for episode number 300. And there you'll find a link for What Really Matters. So you can go to that podcast and subscribe if you're interested in it, and also listen to the episodes that I have published so far on the podcast. So today, for episode number 300, I'm featuring an interview with two previous guests of the podcast, Rena Lazar and Michelle Pante. And Rena and Michelle are the co-founders of Willow End of Life Education and Planning. They're also the co-authors of Seven Tools for Making Sense of Life and Death, which is a workbook and a self-study online program. And they are the co-creators of the Willow End of Life Educator Program, which is what we'll be discussing today. Rena is a conflict resolution and communication specialist who has an architecture degree from McGill University and a Master's of International Affairs from Columbia University. Michelle is a licensed funeral director and was a key player in the launch of the Green Burial Society of Canada. She has a bachelor's degree in sociology from the University of British Columbia, a bachelor of social work from McGill University, and a master of business administration from York University. So you can learn more about Rena and Michelle's work at their website, willoweol.com. Willow is spelled like the tree, W-I-L-L-O-W. And their EOL Educators Program you will find at educators.willoweol.com. So we'll get right into this interview with Rena and Michelle, but stick around at the end of the interview. I'll come back with some takeaways, a few reminders and announcements, and to say goodbye. So here we go. Michelle and Rena, welcome, and thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks. It's great to be here, Karen.
Yeah, our pleasure.
Well, I was looking back, and the last time we spoke and recorded an interview for the podcast was in September of 2019, which actually just seems like an entire world ago, doesn't it? So much has happened since then. So I was curious, Michelle, about how have you two been doing during this pandemic year? What impact did it have on the work you're doing?
You know, the pandemic really sped up the evolution of our offerings. We had anticipated at some point in time that we would start delivering workshops online, but we didn't have a plan for that. And that's what happened to us in March of 2020. We had our monthly reality of our mortality planning circles, where we did Willow workshops to members of the public. We could no longer deliver them, and we pivoted and started, we adapted our curriculum and started to offer them online. And then we basically rethought the timing for our Willow EOL Educator Program and recognized that there was a whole bunch of people looking for material to deliver so that they can bring EOL education to their communities and do it online. So that's what really launched the EOL Educator Program more quickly than we had anticipated, is my top of mind thought. I don't know if you'd seen that differently, Rena.
No, it's so true. And you say more quickly than we anticipated, and yet it feels like it took us so long. But it's true. That's exactly what happened. And the beautiful thing about going virtual, of course, is that we were able to reach people from all over the world, which was really nice.
Yeah, I've heard that from so many people after this past year that all of us had to adapt what we were doing and be really creative and think about how can we keep offering our services to people. But in a way, it's been a great opportunity and I think a motivator for all of us to make some important changes. So I'm excited to learn more about your EOL Educator Program because I purposely didn't talk to you too much about it so that you could describe it to me and to the audience here on the podcast. So I guess we could start. Michelle, do you want to start by talking to us about what the program consists of?
Sure. In essence, what the program does is it empowers other end-of-life educators to integrate into their practice the materials that Rena and I have created over the last 5 years. So we are providing some learning and development to ensure that people understand our materials and also support them with the prospect of generating livelihood as an educator around an end-of-life educator. And what they have the opportunity to do is to use the content from our Willow workshops. They can deliver those workshops. They get detailed scripts and graphic design support and marketing support, and they can use our products and tools inside their own practice.
And I wanted to mention, Rena, maybe you can address this too. I know you have created some really valuable tools that you have used in the past in your workshop. So maybe you could talk about some of the tools that you offer and then train people to use in your program.
Sure. We have a lot of tools. So sort of the foundation of the program is that we have these 10 Willow workshops that people can deliver. And those workshops have detailed scripts, like very long detailed scripts, so that you don't have to think of anything. Everything is there. And the educators can use the scripts exactly like they appear. Of course, they can also, and we encourage them to put their own voice into it. And the scripts are made up of a lot of different exercises, which they can use in their own practice if, say, they also do some coaching. So that's like the big part is these 10 scripts of 2-hour-long virtual workshops, which we will be adding to over time. And pretty soon, fingers crossed, creating workshops that are meant to be delivered in person. In addition to having those content scripts, they have access to all our tools. So we have the 5-minute legacy love letter. We have free tools that anybody can have access to. So some of those are the 5-minute legacy love letter, the how to write your heart will, a brief on grief and mourning, what am I blanking out on some of them?
9 things to include in your departure directions and the reality of our mortality planning checklist.
That's right. So those are the free tools. And then there are some tools that people have to buy, and I'll list those in a second. But what the educators get to do is use those tools in their practice. Otherwise, the tools are really meant for personal use only. So if someone else downloads the tool, they're meant to use them for themselves. The educator can use the tools also with any of the exercises that they've come across in our workshops and use it as part of their coaching practices, whether it's one-on-one or with a family or, of course, with a larger audience. And so the tools that anybody can purchase in our shop include the 7 Tools for Making Sense of Life and Death workbook. There's a fillable ebook and a print workbook. And that same thing has an online program to go with it. And we also have a tool called 5 Steps for Successful End-of-Life Planning Conversations.
Karen, can I add that each of those tools is integrated into a workshop? So, for example, the workshops that we're talking about have titles like the 5-Minute Legacy Love Letter or Conscious Health, Personal Care, and Final Wishes, How to Stop Procrastinating with End-of-Life Planning. So, I mean, we could list them all, but we just thought there'd be some value in naming what these workshops are that people can use themselves.
And just so for anyone listening, if they want to actually see what our tools are and what these workshops are, they're all listed on a special website for educators called, which is educators.willoweol.com.
This is really amazing because your tools are excellent. Having, I know we've spoken about them on previous podcasts and I've looked through all of them, but it's really great that you have created this program so that people who would like to do some teaching don't have to try to recreate the wheel and start from scratch, because you've spent years creating the tools. And so someone else who wanted to offer some end-of-life teaching would probably have to spend quite a lot of time in order to come up with their own ideas. And so for you to make this available for other people to share is really powerful.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who this is for are people who are passionate about end-of-life education and or end-of-life coaching. They're not necessarily passionate about creating tools. I am, we are. So we're creating it for people to use so that they can just focus their passion on, you know, the delivery and the connections they make with people.
And I wanted to talk about that a little bit, because over the years that I've been involved in working on end of life issues, I know we've spent a lot of time telling people you need to do end of life planning, you need to fill out your advance directive, but it felt to me like those efforts of just telling people to do that didn't necessarily move the needle very much, and that people actually really need more help than that. They actually really do need more education. And I'm wondering if what your thoughts are on that, Michelle.
Well, we have a phrase that we say quite often in writing and on different places, that all that matters in the end matters now. So what I think may have been a bit of a gap that our materials are filling is the connection between end-of-life planning and the quality of people's living and loving in their day-to-day life here and now. What we have experienced ourselves and what we've witnessed in, I don't know, you know, probably some thousands of people now, is that when people engage in end-of-life planning in a heart-centered, inquiry-based way, they actually get clarity about who and what matters to them today. So it's transformative in the quality of the life that they're living now, whether they've got, you know, days or decades to live. And the idea about having somebody else facilitate a process is, I don't know, for me personally, I don't know if anybody else relates to this, it's kind of akin to like doing yoga at home versus going to a yoga class. I can do yoga at home. I mean, this is pre-COVID, but I'm way more interested in going to a yoga class where somebody else is telling me what to do. So Willow EOL educators and any educators out there are basically creating opportunities for people to like come show up, and I'm going to support you to go through this. When it's actually enriching the quality of your life and energizing you in the here and now, it's much more exciting. And people actually do feel excitement and joy and fun in engaging in this work.
And I know, Rena, we, as a physician myself, I'm often encouraging medical doctors, you need to have these conversations with your patients. You need to help them do their advanced directives for healthcare. And yet I realize that doctors just may not be the best people to give some of this education to patients because they don't have enough time. And a lot of doctors themselves haven't addressed issues about the end of life and don't have any training in these conversations. And I'm wondering if you have found that to be true as well.
Yeah, no, I'm smiling and I'm sort of laughing a little bit. And I don't think it's just doctors. I think the reality is that most people, at least in our culture, let's, you know, big word culture, but in the Western culture anyway, haven't really considered the reality of their own mortality. And, you know, how can you help someone else do any kind of end of life planning, which does involve contemplating the reality of our mortality, if you haven't done it yourself? So it's probably true of many doctors, but it's true of a lot of people and a lot of people in the end of life world. You know, one of the reasons, you know, that there's this gap between people, you know, knowing they have to do it and actually doing it, is people get stuck. And why do people get stuck? Well, often because there's something in the way that needs to be healed. And because our work is heart-centered and inquiry-based, those things get revealed. And it's beautiful to witness someone moving through that. So that's one reason. There's something that's just not finished that needs to be finished. Another reason is people want to be inspired. They want to be inspired by either ideas, like, how do I do this? What's it all about? They want to be inspired by other people. They want to be inspired with stories and connections. And that's the last one, is connections. So what's, you know, often required to get people unstuck is a connection of a certain amount of depth, either with themselves, with other people in their lives, or even with other strangers that they meet through doing this work. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And it just makes sense to me that we all need support when we're thinking about and making decisions about difficult issues, and we need as much education as we can get. And there are just not very many places people can go to find answers to some of the questions they have. So it makes sense to me a really good educator will be able to help each individual person on their unique journey to consider whatever it is they need to look at.
Yeah. And I think one of the problems is when you hand someone a form to fill out, and I at the very beginning of my journey into this, I was at a workshop where I was handed a form that says, you know, fill this out. It's for your advanced care planning. And, you know, there's all sorts of really good questions like, what are your values? What are your, you know, core values? And I just looked at that and I thought, I don't know what my core values are. So guess what? We have a whole exercise that helps people contemplate and articulate what their core values are. And it's not just by asking that one question. There's a whole bunch of steps involved. So we'd like to sort of take people back to the foundation of what they need to know and think about before they even get into end-of-life planning. And that's what I think the educators that have already joined our program are so excited about.
So let's talk a little bit more about your program specifically and what it consists of for someone who signs up for the educator training. So Michelle, what does that training consist of?
So the training consists of, first of all, when someone registers, what they're doing is they're enrolling in the Willow EOL Educator Program for a 1-year term. And then they have the option and the invitation to renew after that 1 year. And inside that term, they are welcome to participate in as many workshops that are offered as they would like to. So for at educators.willoweol.com right now on the workshop schedule page, anybody who goes there will see a schedule laid out for May and June. Now, this enrollment is ongoing. It's not like it started and, you know, too bad you missed out if you didn't get in for the first date. We are just about to put up dates for the rest of the summer, and then we'll be adding dates for the fall. So when people participate, they have the opportunity to be a part of Willow workshops, the ones that they in turn can bring to the public or their community. Rena and I are actually facilitating. So just yesterday we did Conscious Health, Personal Care, and Final Wishes, a Willow workshop, and our educators are participating in that workshop as, you know, they may have their educator hat on the side, but we're asking them to just show up and do this work for themselves. So you get the opportunity to experience each of our workshops. And inside of being a participant, we also spend time then debriefing, you know, why we do what we do, a bit about sort of the pedagogy or the programming of, you know, why we're doing pair shares here or small groups there. And then we also have, at the moment, there's 5 learning and development workshops, where one where we orient people to the program as a whole and review things like the terms of engagement. And then we also provide support in a workshop format around like how to use Willow materials inside your practice, ways to make money as a Willow EOL educator. And also looking at, you know, how to optimize the support that we offer around promoting themselves. So those are workshops to support the process of, like, you know, their actual evolution as a Willow EOL educator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really great. We have 29 educators already enrolled. And in these various sessions that Michelle just mentioned, there's plenty of opportunity for them to connect with each other in small groups or in pairs. And so whether they're doing the Willow workshops where they're contemplating some aspect of their own mortality, or whether they're doing the learning and development workshops, they really get to bounce ideas off each other. And I have to say, I think that's probably one of the best part. Well, I mean, it's all great, but I think that it's been very well appreciated. People are meeting people from across so far of this continent and being inspired by each other.
Mm-hmm. I think that's wonderful. And especially during this COVID year when we've all been relatively isolated, we haven't been able to go to any in-person workshops or conferences to connect with one another. I think we're all really hungry for those opportunities where we can come together and share with like-minded people, even online. I mean, it's still equally powerful online, I think, mm-hmm. when we can't be together physically. And as you said, you have the power to reach out to so many other people geographically mm-hmm. through the online platform.
That's right. Karen, you also, so in addition to the opportunity to attend these workshops, I mean, first of all, there's actually people, there's a minimum requirement to become a licensed Willow EOL educator, and that is attending one orientation and overview session, which is offered a few times, multiple times during a term, and attending two Willow workshops. So they have the experience of being a participant. So in addition to showing up for the workshops, we also have an online knowledge base, and educators, once they've met their minimum requirements, are given access to that. And that's where the detailed scripts for the 10 Willow workshops live, the accompanying graphics for event banners, things like in the ways to make money, you get a Willow EOL educator badge. We share templates about, for example, sponsorship proposals, because that's one of the possible business models for making money as a Willow EOL educator. We share with them templates, which we encourage them, of course, to run by their local legal experts, but templates for the coaching service agreement that we have for the workshop participant waiver. So we're basically saying, please go forth and educate. Go forth, multiply, educate, generate a livelihood for yourself and your family, and do the work you love. And there are people who may choose to build a whole practice around being a Willow EOL educator. And there are other folks who they've got lots of different programs, perhaps including their own or other people's things that they like to offer. And we're just, you know, we're in another set of tools in their education toolbox.
And Rena, I wanted to ask, who do you feel this EOL educator training is for? Like, who is your ideal student, would you say?
Yeah, it's really anyone who's passionate about end-of-life education and coaching. So I don't have it really handy, but I have a list of who these people are. But many of them are end-of-life, either death doulas or end-of-life doulas, depending on how they call themselves. We have one, and we've had two. So we have two funeral directors. We have celebrants. We have just people who are life coaches that want to add this to their, what they have to offer. What am I missing here, Michelle?
We have bereavement specialists and hospice staff.
Yes.
And so just what's interesting about that, Karen, is to note that for many people, they're purchasing the educator program on their own, and they will hold the license. In the case of an organization, in the example of the person I'm thinking of, she works for a hospice. The hospice is the one who's purchased her enrollment in the program, and they actually technically hold the license, but they're assigning it to her to use. We also have librarians, mm-hmm. And we have a few people who are, we have registered clinical counselors, we have nurses, a few people who are really clear that they're just at the very beginning of this journey, and this feels like a great place to start.
Mm-hmm. So interesting. But it was one of my passionate desires is for every primary care medical office to have someone who's been trained to be an EOL educator within the office, because so often patients come in who could really benefit from this information. And as I said, doctors don't have time to sit down and really talk with their patients. But if they had someone on their own staff in their office who had the training thing. That person could create some workshops for the patients in that medical practice and put together, when they see a need for it, offer some of those tools and help educate their own patients within their practice.
Well, you know, that's exactly what it's for, because, you know, what we did in our limited capacity is we would be hired by certain organizations, institutions to give workshops to for staff development or for volunteer development. And it was great. Like, for example, this particular hospice worker, then we said, you know what, we could keep doing this, but for way less money per year, you can buy a license and then you can, someone on your team can offer these workshops as many times as you want for whatever size group you want. You could even do it one-on-one, right? So it's really a fabulous value in a sense, because the alternative would be to hire somebody from the outside at, you know, I don't know what price, it varies, of course, and then have to, you know, figure it out who they are, blah, blah, blah. So it's really like a no-brainer if you ask me.
And Karen, the thing about that, so that's an amazing vision that you have, and we should keep talking about that, because you know, we would love to grow, a global network of Willow Eel educators. We could start with North America and have those educators be partnered with those primary care physicians. And the interesting thing about this, we do have somebody who actually works in a medical office who's in our group of educators. And what she's anticipating is, one, being able to share the tools or maybe even engage in some one-on-one exercises with families or individuals, but also to be able to offer workshops that are part of community outreach. So it's not just about what happens to the patients who are already, you know, coming to see the doctor or the other members of the healthcare team. It's also about being an advocate for public education, for public health and community-based education in this realm. Like the doctors or the medical offices who have an educator as a part of their team are showing real leadership by bringing workshops, as an example, to the community.
Oh, that's a great idea. And that's such a good way to put it as well, because if you have someone who's an educator in your office, why not make that available for the entire community? And it's also good marketing. It's
exactly.
Good PR for a medical office or a hospital also.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you know, our education goes so far beyond preparing for one's death. Like that is the sort of, in some ways, like that's the icing on the cake, that you can be as prepared as possible for that inevitable death and not be, you know, just taken off guard when it happens. Or the people who in your community, but that's the icing on the cake. What this education does is prepare people for the time between this moment and their death so that they can live and love fully now. And so it really is an education, like, we call it end of life planning, but it's really personal growth and development, using death as the portal to have the best life you can.
It's so true. And that's something I totally believe, that people have to first embrace the idea of their own mortality and overcome some of their fear of that so that they can then turn around and figure out, knowing that this life is finite and it will end someday, how can I live my best possible life right now? But so many people really need help to get to that place
I just want to add, you know, when you were talking about the medical center or the, you know, then it's also about health, right? It's so somebody who does not have a terminal diagnosis, they're just in, you know, they're just going to their regular doctor. This work actually I would say, you know, the more lit up you are about your life, obviously very often the healthier you're going to be. And so it's really like a health program as well, a physical health program, as well as a mental health program.
It's really true. I read once that the country of Bhutan was once named the happiest place on earth, and that people in their society contemplate death 5 times a day as a spiritual practice. And so such a foreign thought to our society, to think that thinking about death would actually make you happier, but it's really true. Happier and healthier if you can be comfortable with talking about it and thinking about the end of life.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you go ahead, Michelle, you go ahead.
I was just going to share that, you know, there are so many stories about people who begin this inquiry-based and very heart-centered end-of-life planning. And in the process, as Rena alluded to, of like, you know, getting stuck and realizing like, I keep procrastinating with this one particular point. That it illuminates something about who they are right now and who and what matters most to them and things that need attention. And once it's acknowledged, then they can do something about it.
Mm-hmm. I just want to add, you know, and we absolutely know we don't have to convince you of this, Karen, but because you've witnessed this, that dying can be a real time of truth seeking and risk taking. And many people have observed that in the face of death, people tend to focus on what gives them or has already given them meaning in their life, right? Mm-hmm. So this has been documented and documented and documented. And so what we're saying is don't wait until then. You know, your mortality is actually an opportunity in disguise. Wake up before your time is up. And that's basically, that's the foundation of, that's what gets us very excited about the work.
Well, I love the idea that you are empowering, first of all, a band of passionate teachers who themselves have had their own lives transformed and who might be choosing a new career or to add tools to the career they already have because they've become empowered. Impassioned. They've had an education that has inspired them, and they will go out into the world and they have the potential to really change a lot of lives, however they decide to offer these tools. And that's what I feel really excited about, because we can never have too many teachers in our society.
For Agreed. Sure.
Agreed.
And we actually, the banner on the educators.willoweol.com website says, to change the world, we need a global network of heart-centered end-of-life educators. And that's our goal, is to change how people live and die. We want people to feel clarity about who and what matter most to them. We want them to feel like what happens at the end of their life and after they're dead, to the best of their ability, that it reflects their essence, that their values, beliefs, and priorities are what are guiding how they live their life here and now, but also as that inevitable death, you know, unfolds for us in our own time, that what happens there will continue to be a reflection of who and what matter most to us.
Mm. And it eases the way for them and the people they leave behind, you know?
Yeah, that's so beautiful. And I'm curious, it sounds to me as if the people who go through your program to become educators, even though you're supplying them with templates, but that they are kind of creating, they can kind of customize how and what they offer and how they create it, so that it will be, it's probably somewhat unique for each educator how they choose to bring your materials to their community. Is that correct?
Yes, very much so. And some of our educators have specific niches where they want to reach out to their specific kind of community. And yeah, and even if it is more general, everybody has their own kind of style or niche. Like we had three sort of beta educators, and two of them actually work together. And I know that they have a really sort of joyful and a very humor-oriented style of their presentations that the people who've sort of fallen now just absolutely love. Someone else, it might be, you know, something completely different. We all have, everybody brings their own personality to it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I believe for hospices, for death doulas, for people who are trying to get more people to make choices for the care they want at the end of life and would like to have more patients to serve at the end of life, it's so important that we educate people earlier in life so that they can make these good choices for themselves at the end. So I that's why I think the education is key. We're not going to be able to grow hospice or palliative care if we haven't already educated the public about why they might want to make these choices. So, Michelle, is that included in your program, really talking to people about the options they might have at the end of life?
So when you were speaking about that, Karen, what was where my mind was going, so I'm not sure if I'm actually capturing what you would like me to reply to, but let me just go here because it's part of it is, you know, the hospice staff person who's part of the educator group right now, she's really clear that part of what she's going to be doing with her license is using Willow workshops as part of community outreach. So, and that would be about increasing awareness in their geographic community that, you know, there is a hospice, here's what the hospice does. And a part of what's important to us is increasing community. It's basically increasing community deaf literacy, right?
Yes.
And the Willow workshops are the vehicle for doing that. So they're, you know, going to be offering workshops where people can get together and talk about things like, you know, writing a legacy love letter, or writing your heart will, or exploring the topic of greeting your death, what to include in your departure directions, remembering and being remembered. So they're not showing up and saying, hey, community, here's exactly what the hospice has to offer. You better make sure you use us, you know, when the time comes. It's like, we want to facilitate your personal awareness about the reality of your mortality. We're the hospice. Here's what we offer when the time, you know, when and if the time comes in your life or that of your family. And we want to be here as a support for the community to increase literacy around death and dying.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to get at, okay. That we won't be successful if we simply reach out to people who are already at the end of life and say, hey, think about hospice, because it's like we've already missed the mark. We already have failed to educate that person and their family members, which we need to be doing earlier on for everyone, and not necessarily so everyone will choose hospice, but just so that people are empowered and can make better choices for themselves as they go on throughout life. So I think that's perfect, and I like what you're describing, how the hospice nurse intends to utilize this training.
Yeah, and we have exercises that focus on personal care and health care, but it's about like what matters to you about that. And so when people start thinking about this early on, they you know, it gets them to think about, well, if that matters, what do I have to put into place? And we also have some exercises that are about learning from the past. So we encourage people to think about other people they know who have died and what how it impacted them, both negatively or positively. And that's about the time leading up to their death, or it could be the moment of death, or it could be how they were cared for after they die. Also that, not also, but also that the person doing the exercise can reflect on, oh, wait, you know, that how that person was cared for, or how they, you know, approached the end of their life was so beautiful. Like, I want that for me. Or, you know, the community they were in was great, and I want to make sure I'm in a vibe, you know, that kind of community as I age, or whatever, you know, whatever it is. And so, yeah, it gets people thinking about it way in advance of the time they actually need to do it so that they can put those steps into their life.
And I think what you're highlighting, Karen, is we just haven't said this aloud yet, but you know this from past conversations with us. We don't particularly target people at the end of life or people who are grieving or the bereaved. Where this work can be focused on any particular group of participants, but this is for all mortal beings. Mm-hmm. Whether you have, you know, days or decades to live, most of the people who do this work think they have decades to live. And that's where we think this work really belongs. I mean, we'd like to see Willow Wheel educators inside the primary school system, inside high schools. It's never too early for people to contemplate the reality of their mortality, and it will inspire them to live life more fully with clarity about who and what matter most, no matter how old they are.
Mm, so true. So true. I love that idea of having educators in the school system. I think that would be beautiful.
First, we'll work on the primary healthcare providers, then we'll work on the school system, okay?
Yeah.
First, we'll take Manhattan, then we'll take Berlin.
It's a... Definitely, it's a big vision, but that's what we all need to have right now. So the program is still relatively new. Is that right? When did you actually start launching the trainings?
Well, we had three sort of testers, beta educators, although they were full-fledged educators for about a year. They just finished a year. And then we purposefully didn't invite other people to join because we wanted to really get everything ready and write and do all the good design work and the legal work. And so then we kind of launched it to the general public to start on May 2nd, I think it was. And so we have 29 educators in total right now. And like Michelle said previously, it's ongoing. Like people can join us at any time.
Yeah. So that's good. So it's not like, oh, you missed the start date, people even listening to this later on could go to the website. So it's educators.willoeol.com is where people should go if they want to know about this specific program.
That's right.
And we wanted to talk about a special offer, perhaps, for people who listen right away to this particular interview.
So we are offering a coupon that will allow listeners of this program to have $200 off the enrollment price. So the enrollment price, and this is for a one-year term, is $1,900. And with the coupon code
EOLU200.
Yeah, with that coupon code, and I'm sure there'll be a link to that where this is posted.
Yes.
Folks can register and have that as a discount. And there's also an opportunity to learn more about the educator program at free information sessions. We're hosting them for the next couple of Fridays at 12 p.m. Pacific time. So that's on Friday, the 21st of May, and also on the 28th of May. So we encourage people to come to those sessions. They'll just be 1 hour free on Zoom. You do need to register. And we can also provide a link for where they register for those free events.
On the information page, there's, you know, as long as we have information sessions coming, there's a pop-up that will tell you about when the next one is. So if we add more, it'll be there.
Okay, that's good. So that's that same webpage, educators.willoeol.com.
Right.
Just go there and they'll find out about it. It's early, so I don't know, do you have any feedback yet from people who've done the program?
All I can say is it's very enthusiastic. Like Michelle and I, when we get, okay, this is kind of egotistical, but when we get off, you know, one of the workshops we facilitate, I say to her, is it terrible that my favorite part was when everyone was telling us how great this is?
Well, I can just imagine, because it sounds like it's so comprehensive and you've included so many amazing tools that it's like a treasure trove when people come inside this group and are just able to have access to so much good information.
Yeah, we've put our heart and our souls and a whole lot of time and money into this. And I think it's paying off because we really want to make a big impact and we cannot do it alone. And we're so excited about the quality of the people who've joined. And by quality, I mean like, and diversity of the people who have joined. It's just a joy. It's a total joy to work with them.
I'm sure it is. Well, that's one thing I've found all along is that the people who are attracted to wanting to work in this field are usually our heart-centered people. And so they're the best group of people to form a network with and to be going through education with, I think.
I have a thought, Karen.
Yeah.
You know, we have a frequently asked question section on that website. And one of the questions is basically, you know, how does the Willow EOL Educator Program fit in with other end-of-life training programs?
That's good.
That's a great question.
Okay, so this program is not to replace any other certifications or training that practitioners may have already done. You know, we are not replacing death doula training or end-of-life doula training, funeral directors, end-of-life coaches, advanced care planners, grief bereavement guides, home funeral guides, hospice volunteers or educators, celebrants, nurse educators, social workers. There's a whole, there's a plethora of amazing training and certification that people who are showing up as Willow Eagle educators, they have come to us with some of this training in place. And we are not replacing that. We are augmenting it by creating an opportunity for them to dive deep into the reality of their own mortality and for them to have the opportunity to use the materials we've created inside their practice. And each profession or realm of work might choose to draw upon different Willow materials. But the point is they are being granted permission, in essence, to use our intellectual property and being given support during the course of their term to, you know, grow their practice, refine their skills, and also be part of a really vibrant network.
Yes, and what important tools to have for all of those groups of people in the work they're already doing to be able to offer this kind of workshop and training to the people that they already serve. I think that's really beautiful.
Let me just add something to that. Some of those fields that Michelle mentioned, there are a majority of women, but, you know, some men who have joined these fields, let's say end of life doula or death doula and some others, where it's challenging to make a right livelihood. They are very passionate about their work, but it's not so easy to make a livelihood just doing that. And so we provide this these tools and these workshops to help people, besides just what they're passionate about, but also to actually make some money doing it. And we have a lot of guidance in that. And we really want people to have a right livelihood doing this work, if that is their, you know, if that is important to them, which I think it is to many people. So we encourage them to have a right livelihood, and we cheer them on all the way. And, you know, the price of our program, which is $1,900 US, you know, plus the $200 discount. Some people might think that's a lot of money, but the reality is that you can make that money back in like 2 weekends when you deliver these workshops, whether you charge a fee for the workshop for the individuals coming or you get a sponsorship. And we're so, we're just so eager to help people do that.
And I wanted to mention that really right now the world is hungry for this kind of information. And so I don't think the educators will have any problem filling workshops, because especially after a whole year of COVID, I just see people are more open than ever and searching more than ever for information like this.
Yes, we've noticed that ourselves. Just in the 5 years we've been doing this work, we've noticed a huge difference in the demand for this work.
Another point related to educators or people choosing to do this program, maybe that I think is worth commenting on, is the abundance perspective that we have, and we are encouraging all educators to have, because of the option now of delivering workshops virtually. We really think, you know, there could be a Willow Eel, or it could be a Willow workshop taking place at every hour of the day, every day of the week. And there would be people showing up from different time zones, attracted to different educators because of the existing practice they have. You know, they might, if someone is a celebrant and they're doing workshops, or they're a funeral director, or they're a nurse, or their personality, or their niche. We have no intentions of limiting the number of educators that can be licensed. And we think that that there's actually, you know, what we want to do is build that community, that momentum that you were speaking about, the need for it to be commonplace for people to have opportunities for death literacy, to reflect on the reality of their mortality, to get their end of life planning ducks in a row. So we think there's a lot of power available to the educators to be part of this growing movement. And there isn't a sense of like, well, I don't know that I want anybody else in California to be an educator, because I'm going to be the willow eel educator. I hope that there's thousands.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like I was saying, there can never be too many teachers around this topic. Yeah. And so I'm so excited about it. For several years, I've been saying, I think education is the key. We aren't going to change the end of life by starting at the end of life. We have to start by talking to people much earlier in life about this topic. Education is essential, and I think collaboration is essential too. And so I'm really happy that you two are making all of Willow's tools available to everyone out there who might already be working in this field and just need to add something else to what they offer. So I'm grateful to you for what you're doing.
Thank you. And another frequently asked question, it's only been asked once, but just to say it because it has come up. We've had people say, well, you know, I'm trained in this particular end of life doula certification, or I teach at this community program. Is there any conflict of interest? Can I still be a willow eel educator and declare myself as these, you know, other certifications? And our response is absolutely. Our goal is to augment your practice, to support you to grow and thrive and prosper in the way that makes sense for you and whatever this practice is for you, whether it is a service of love where you're not actually intending to generate a livelihood, or whether you want to make a healthy income for your family. We're augmenting. We're not trying to replace. We're not looking for exclusivity.
Mm. And that's wonderful to know. And I think it's the perfect attitude as well, that sense of collaboration. Like, we're all in this together. We all need to be working together to help move things forward and to create transformation in our society.
Yeah. Actually, the one of the taglines on the Educator webpage is, alone our reach is limited. Together we transform more lives.
Mm, so true. So I want to remind our listeners that they can go to educators.willoweol.com to learn more about your program. I'm just so excited about it, and I'm so happy that you've done this because it seems to me like you've maybe, you know, I've thought for a long time how something like this could be offered, but I feel like you've hit upon something that your training is flexible enough and comprehensive enough and diverse enough that you cover all the bases. And I think that's really beautiful.
Thank you so much, Karen. I'm like smiling ear to ear hearing you support us like this. It's really great. Thank you.
Well, I'm excited that for anyone who listens before the end of May this year, that you can get this $200 discount. Don't forget that. So go to the show notes for this episode and you'll find the coupon code there and a link where you can sign up. So Michelle and Rena, thanks for coming back on the podcast again with more exciting news about your program. And we'll have to catch up again someday in the future to see how it's going.
Thank you so much, Karen.
Thanks, Karen.
Take care.
You too.
So I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Rena and Michelle. If you've been following my podcast for a while, you know that I'm a huge advocate for education, which is why I'm very excited about their program and the fact that they are sharing the materials that they've created, because they really are phenomenal, and you need to check out the willoweol.com website in order to see what they're offering you, because the resources and tools they've created are just beautiful. And what an advantage it would be to your work as an educator to have such beautiful tools already available to you and not have to recreate them from scratch. And in addition to that, to have access to the workshops that they're going to teach you how to create for your own audience or your own community, I think is a tremendous value to have. And I really feel it can jumpstart many people into becoming educators who might otherwise be hesitating because of the high bar of creating all of these materials themselves. So I hope you'll take advantage of the coupon that Rena and Michelle offered, a $200 discount on a one-year membership in the program using the coupon code EOLU200. And again, that will be in the show notes. And I'll also have a link to the Educators Program page where you can go and sign up if you're interested in joining. To use the coupon, it's only good until the very end of May, till midnight, May 31st. So you have 1 week from the time this podcast airs to think about it and to go ahead and sign up if you're interested in becoming an educator. And I hope many of you will, because as I've always said, I believe this is the most important step we can take if we really want to change the end of life in our society. Also, just a little teaser here that later in the month of June, I'm going to host Rena and Michelle. We don't have all the details worked out yet, but to do a webinar on creating a legacy love letter. And so they will actually be sharing with you one of the workshops that they teach in their program. And that's coming up later in June. So if you're still on the fence, you can wait a little bit longer. You may not get the discount after that point, but you can join us for a free webinar and learn a little more, see one of their workshops in action if you would like to sign up. So with that being said, be sure to come back next week for a new interview, and also check out the What Really Matters podcast if you like my solo content. I want to thank all of you who have signed up to be supporters on my Patreon page at patreon.com/EOLU. I really appreciate you keeping this podcast on the air and helping me get a new podcast started as well. It means everything to me. If you like this content, please share it with other people or tell them about it. You can also subscribe to both podcasts wherever you happen to listen, and then leave ratings and reviews, because that really helps them be shown to more people and helps us grow this community of people who are concerned about the end of life. So until next week, remember, we're here for love. So face your fear, be ready for whatever life brings you, and love each and every moment of your precious life. Bye-bye.